Hello, friends. How would you like to come and meet the Pitchside crew at Fellow Studios in London? That's me, Theo, and Tom when he's back with a working arm. All you need to do is fill in a short survey. Link is in the description down below, and you'll be entered into a draw to come and visit the studios. And also, if you win, you can get yourself a £100 Classic Football Shirts voucher. You have until next Sunday, which is the 21st of May, to enter, so get involved if that's something that interests you. Cheers. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pitchside, joined with our good friend Rari.
Oh, hello.
Rari.
Three Arsenal fans on a podcast. Should just aforementioned that we will get into, obviously, the notable topics of VAR being discussed on MNF and the relegation battle. But for now, we are going to discuss Arsenal in full.
Yeah, and Tom's having surgery this week, so all the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, forget about that, didn't ya?
Huh?
Well, but our good friend Tom, whose arm is snapped in half, while we're out here gallivanting around.
You said it last week.
Well, I want to say it again.
Okay, well, there we go. Tom's arm update again.
I watched.
Pictures off.
The Arsenal. Okay. I want to say this, and I want to say this seriously. Anyone calling Arsenal bottle jobs is stupid and are wrong. How can you expect anyone to beat Manchester City to a Premier League? We're about to witness potentially a side winning the treble. Do you know how rare it is for a club to even get 95 points, which was needed if City win remaining of their games to beat them? Do you know how hard that is to do? You could look at some fixtures and say, yes, they've had a stinker in a few fixtures, but they've also had injuries. They're also inexperienced, okay? No one at the start of the season would have ever predicted Arsenal to be where they are right now.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, in hindsight, maybe I wouldn't want to be here right now because I'm sad that we haven't won the league, okay? But at the end of the day, you're going to look back on this season and think, wow, yes, Arsenal didn't win the league, but they gave it a right good go with a super inexperienced side. And
Absolutely,
they've had a wonderful season and to be so incredibly proud of themselves.
Yeah. But so, can't that be
thinking? Stupid football fan and start linking with an eye outside the box. Open your mind.
I'm sick.
You're a Newcastle fan and you're about to bottle top four. You're not about to bottle top four, mate. And actually, if you don't get top four, you should be proud of Europa League.
We will, but can't two things be true at once?
Yeah, no, I agree with.
Your glass half empty.
You can have a great season whilst having also bottled.
No, but
and that's what you did.
The reason people are using that terminology is because we didn't come away with maximum amount of points in games that we probably should have done. Having said that, if we'd have still not won the title and got 3 points from Southampton,
West Ham,
maybe a point from Brighton and still finished second, people would look on it a little bit differently having us.
Man City didn't beat you to the title because of their excellence. You let them do it.
No, that's not true.
What are you talking about?
If you have to win a Premier League by getting 96 points, that is ridiculous.
Yes, but like the reason they've won it is you had such an advantage.
The only
way
they
could win it is for you to feel the pressure and crack and bottle. That was the only way through. It was in your hands.
City are going to win the title is because of their A, experience, B, consistency.
And lack of bottle.
It's not lack of... Mate, they're Manchester City. They're the best fucking side in the world. They're going to win with 95 points. You're expecting a team full of kids to get 94 points. You're expecting an Arsenal team full of kids to get 95 points. They haven't bottled it. They've had a few stinker games. This was always going to happen through the running of a season. It's just so happened, rather than having in the middle of the season or at the start of the season, they've had them at the end, where, let's be honest, they don't have the squad depth of Manchester City. So obviously they're going to have rotter fucking games.
But
stop being so stupid and naive.
It's no. Maybe it's the word bottle that you don't like, but essentially that's the brutally honest part of it. Whoops. That's the brutally honest part. When you have that lead and you drop points to Southampton and West Ham, on the running, on the really nervous
two
part.
Nil up as well.
It is lack of experience.
In games against Liverpool and West Ham.
So it's a awful way to put it. And you're right, Newcastle might do it. And if Newcastle don't get Champions League now, I'll hold my hands up and say
your neutrality on this show, Lewis.
Also one of the only sides to go to Anfield and get a point this season.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be, there's nuance to the debate.
Yeah, it is a
great
area.
And so on one hand, and I think the reason that Arsenal fans are getting so defensive about the bottle thing is because you've got like half the people, especially on social media, it's just screaming like bottle, bottle, bottle. And there's nothing else to it. And they just want to say bottle because they know it's going to wind up Arsenal fans and they just want to annoy them. If you're saying like, you know, it was a good effort from Arsenal, I think they bottled it, whatever. Fair enough, you can have that opinion. But on the other hand, you've got to look at it as like, Arsenal were never, ever in contention to win the league at the start of the season. The fact we even came close is miraculous. And to be fair, I do have more sympathy for Liverpool now than I used to, because how they did this for like five consecutive seasons.
It's not only that as well. You're looking at this Manchester City side, which could be the greatest ever Premier League side, and they've got a fucking robot up front. Yeah. It scored the most goals ever.
Yeah, they
added, in the Premier League ever.
Yeah, they literally added the most... He will be the most prolific striker in Premier League history to an already Premier League winning side.
Do you know that is good this but team not, is? Not, like we're up again.
What's interesting about that, obviously, again, it's me being the one that seemingly has to discredit Haaland, but City haven't actually scored more goals than they did last season.
What?
No, they haven't. It's just
how many goals can they score a season then?
It's ridiculous, right? So their team is that good, it doesn't matter what system or what manner of scoring that they have, they still score 90 goals a season or whatever it is. It's ridiculous, man.
I think the problem is if you only say Arsenal bottled it, that like phrase all comes down to just mentality. Like they crumbled under the pressure and that there were no other reasons that Arsenal fell away. If you asked why were we in the title race in the first place, from a team that finished fifth last season, why were we in a title race? One big factor was Zinchenko, Saliba and Gabriel Jesus. Like those three additions to the team were huge. And the two big blips that we've had in the season, the one in the start of February and the one that we've just had, first one we were missing Jesus, second one we're missing Saliba. That's not the only excuse and the only reason, but it is a massive factor when you consider the players that we bring in for those players are nowhere near good enough to compete. So I think like there's an element of bottle, there's an element definitely of mentality not being good enough, but there are a load of other factors that I think don't get talked about enough by certain people.
My only argument is that like obviously injuries play a part, but like you can take those players out of your team and you should still be beaten Southampton, West Ham sort of thing. So it's like, you can
say that about individual games, but can you take those players out of the team and still say they should be competing for the league? No. The problem with City compared to Arsenal is that you take those players out of the City team, they've got world fucking class players to bring them back in. Whereas Arsenal have Rob Holding. No offense, Rob Holding. Yeah. We love you.
You lose Saliba in the Arsenal team. You've been putting with Rob Holding. You lose Diaz in the City team.
You've got Laporte.
Laporte comes in.
No, because like this thing, it is an unbelievable achievement that you've managed to get that far and managed to have that barrier. I just think, you know, that's not saying Arsenal bottle and me saying it now. I'm not trying to take away from that. It's impressive that you made it that far. But when you take a screenshot of the league in that moment and the fixtures left, the end result.
Yeah, but man, you could do that.
It's because the expectation was that after 19 games of us having 50 points, we'd do it again.
But it's a credit.
And that's not always.
And also, Lewis, you're forgetting as well that these screenshots are always like 9 points clear. We've got 28 games. It's over 10 games left of the season. That's almost a quarter of the season still to play.
And
you lot have said, oh, they've won the league.
I just want to say as well, the 3-0 that we lost to Brighton, credit to Brighton. They are fantastic, by the way. De Zerbi's got that team absolutely clicking.
Yeah.
The fact that they can play out from the back and have more possession than us at the Emirates is a joke.
I got one too many tweets telling me to support my local after that.
Conflicted. But they are. But like we should mention, a lot of the times that the teams that we've dropped points to have had brilliant performances.
Mm.
Admittedly, it's all right to say, okay, we should be smashing these teams off the park. But Brighton are competing for Europe. Liverpool are now obviously fighting for top four, and that was the start of their...
West Ham going to win the European Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing I say about...
Relegated.
The other thing I say about Brighton is that we can talk about injuries, but they had like four key injuries against us, and they adapted way better than we've done. Like Caicedo went to right back, was unbelievable. So, yeah, massive credit to Brighton.
I really like Brighton.
The first
it's a good team to lose to.
Mm. The first domino was probably...
They're all good though, right?
Shut up.
You don't like them. Why don't you like them?
I do like Brighton.
They're good, right?
Yeah, but I don't want them to beat my club 3-0 at home.
I'm with Theo there. I couldn't, if I was in your position, I couldn't give credit to anyone. If I was used right now, I'd like Brighton would be my arch nemesis for life.
Nah, yeah, but we're used to it, mate. The amount of times that they come to the Emirates and beat us is actually...
It's the way that you lose. Like, you just can't complain. When a team comes to the Emirates, where like every other big team other than City has come and struggled, they've come and turned up and literally outplayed us.
And
a lot of these teams... When you are the club that is at the top of the league, people, is that their final for them?
Final, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you always step up to the teams that are, or you try to step up at the teams
that
are.
Which is why Southampton takes so many points off big teams.
because they're
and lose to everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
But their other mini finals just don't count.
But the problem is when City are at the top of the league, they're so used to it and they're actually just so good.
Yeah.
It, like, it's annoying.
Like, they probably know, like, all of them in the dressing room probably know that they're going to do it. It's like, this is like,
easy.
We're gonna, yeah, it's easy.
They win every game 5-0. Like, that's not fair on the Premier League. That's actually just not fair. It's not fair.
Really,
they should be
good.
Banned from the Premier League. They should get their points deducted. I can't be asked to City. Pep needs to go. I've had enough of him. Haaland's just... take the plug out, stop, move on.
Yeah.
And Gundogan, why are you so good?
Like, he's such a clutch
so
player.
Underrated,
oh, it's man. So annoying.
Such a clutch player.
How can they just go away?
Yeah.
You know, why do Liverpool fans hate Arsenal fans so much? I don't get it. We're one of you.
Yeah, it's
we've
true.
Been through the pain. Well, if anything, we want a truce.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I think it's because when they were going through it, we were never sympathising with them.
But I never went to Liverpool
like,
when they lost
the general feeling from Liverpool fans is like, well, when we were complaining about like having to compete with City, no one else gave a shit. And now you're...
But also, Liverpool's side, I would argue, is way better than the Arsenal side now.
The starting 11, yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but if you think about it, we're probably at like... In terms of like the process, we're at the sort of stage where Liverpool were in like the first season where they started competing. That's why I think we've probably got 4 or 5 seasons of competing in.
Well, a lot of people seem to think that Arsenal aren't even making top four next year.
Yeah, crazy.
That drop off since, like, I don't understand it. Can I also say, thanks to Arsenal Football Club, that's the only reason this season has been interesting. Otherwise, City would have walked it by about 25 points.
True. You have, well, to be fair, there's other in the relegation top four battle, but the main
of
one
course,
you care about is
like,
winning the league.
The Premier League would have been done by...
This is the problem with the Premier League, that we are relying on like Liverpool having the best era that they've ever had to compete with City for a few years. Now you've got Arsenal having... like, this will still go down as maybe our third or fourth best ever season in the Premier League. You're relying on one-off teams having exceptional seasons just to even push City to a good title race.
Yeah.
We're in danger of becoming a Farmers League, big time.
Literally, in the history of Arsenal Football Club, this could be like the second or third most points we've ever got.
Yeah. This is, I think,
and we still haven't won the league.
You have the record for leading the league at Christmas.
Okay, all right,
and...
a relevant point. Right, yeah, we've heard. What are your soundboards that I've heard for the next fucking? We've just said to you that in the history of Arsenal Football Club, this could be like the second or third most points they have ever got in a title.
Lewis, quick
question.
All you
fucking rat on about. Oh,
I'm
yeah,
saying it's a quick question. You know the only reason why we led the Premier League for so many days? Because there's a fucking World Cup in the middle of the season, mate.
Yeah, that did help.
Forget about
another
that.
Start that did help. And for most of it, we were always like at least a game in hand. We were always like, had played at least one game more than City. So it's a bit of a weird stat that I keep seeing getting peddled around.
It's actually stupid as well that they only start getting out of second gear like middle of December, early January, and then still win the league.
City don't try for the title until April.
Yeah. And then they just become
like, oh, what's the time? It's April. Oh, yeah, we're still like 5 points. Okay, yeah, we can do it now.
On that next season top four chat, I'm not saying, before you jump down, I'm not saying you won't get it, but can you not, like, I don't think it's a given. If you think Chelsea,
no,
if they
not.
Come back,
no,
if
it's
Liverpool
exciting,
are back
if anything,
on farm, Newcastle invest,
for Premier
Tottenham
League fans,
maybe.
For Premier League fans, it's exciting. No, not Tottenham. For Premier League fans, it's exciting because you've got City, you've got Liverpool, you've got Arsenal, you've got Chelsea potentially if they start firing
Newcastle.
Under Pochettino. You've got Newcastle, you've got Manchester United.
Yeah.
Fuck it, man. You got Brighton.
Yeah.
Even if they don't if they don't lose all their players.
I think the only thing is that people saying that like Arsenal are going to struggle. Like, I've seen genuinely more people saying Chelsea will get top four next season with Chest than Arsenal will. And I think just what you've reeled off then is if Chelsea do this, if Newcastle do this, if
no
whereas with Arsenal it's just
they are
if Arsenal
it.
Do what they did again this season.
Yeah.
But we don't have to like level up whereas everyone else.
But also you forget that Arsenal have Champions League
now. It's not easy.
Which means they can finally attract the players that they haven't been able to attract recently.
True, but like say that
Arsenal
point.
Are forced to be reckoned with. They're a young club in the Champions League with a great manager, with an actual style of play that people want to play. There's a reason they're going to attract these big names.
Yeah, but
they're Arsenal Football Club.
If you think though, like say yous haven't been pretty poor for so long and then you've had this great season, whereas, you know, Liverpool, Chelsea not been good this season, but they have a history of doing all this. So is your blip in the form one season good and theirs is a blip in the form one season bad,
no,
or is it going to last?
If you've got a brain, you'll look at Arsenal and you think, wow, the direction they're showing right now is I want to be a part of that. There's a reason Arsenal had Zinchenko. There's a reason Arsenal got Jesus because the man in charge of it is leading the ship correctly. There's a reason Declan Rice is most likely going to go to Arsenal over Liverpool.
The only thing,
the direction.
The only thing I would say is top four is so unpredictable for a future season because I think for most people this year they had like Liverpool, City 1-2, depending on what order you have preference, and then Spurs, United, I don't even think most, for the most part, Arsenal were in people's top four. So
not at all.
They weren't.
I can say hand on heart.
Get top four.
Are like title contenders every single season.
Yeah, true.
I thought Liverpool were going to push them this year, and then they were ninth after halfway.
You got to remember as well, if Liverpool finish fifth, they're not in the Champions League, which will harness their chances at signing big name players, and it will. I know they're Liverpool Football Club, and you know people want to sign for them all the time. But if you have the option of going to an Arsenal or a Liverpool right now, you'd look at Arsenal and think, "Oh, actually, you know what? I like where they're going."
Yeah, but I think for the most part, definitely their pool in terms of players they can get, but Liverpool's squad just needs to be polished a little
midfield
bit.
Midfield-fied.
Yeah.
For me, I think next season, the current top five will be the top five. I don't think so. Yeah. So it'll be, basically, I think it'll be Arsenal, Liverpool, United and Newcastle fighting for 3 out of... Although, correct me, can you check this? I'm certain next season, five... Premier League teams can qualify for the Champions League.
This is a thing. So you get an award and an extra Champions League place depending on your country's like performance in Champions League. Yeah. So with Man City, and that's so from next season, if that, the rule takes place in the season after.
Yeah.
So actually next season might be quite boring because it could just be that the current top five are the best five next season.
Wait, so when Liverpool Spurs were in the final, obviously Liverpool won, did that equate to another Champions League?
No, it's a new rule.
Oh, it's a new rule.
Because they're expanding the Champions League for the season after next.
Will Italy get another Champions League spot?
Well, it depends. So it's all based on your coefficient. Yeah. So like Ligue 1 are struggling massively because they're not good in Europe and PSG have let them down. So the season after next season's Champions League, it's a 36-team
Yeah, and it's tournament. 8 games, you play 4 home, 4 away, right? And then you get pulled into a second bracket and then it's like knocking.
Arsenal finally back in the Champions League. Arsenal finally back in the Champions League and now it's like, oh shit, what's going on here?
It could be quite interesting because you don't in the group, you don't play the same team twice.
No.
You play 8 different teams.
Yeah, so it's good for fixtures. Like, it's good for viewership.
I don't like it being easier to get in the Champions League though. Even speaking as someone who might finish in 5th in their team.
I don't think that's true. Anyway, I think if you finish top 5 in the Premier League, you deserve to be in the Champions League.
I like it just being even that much harder, like where you know 1, 2, 3 big teams are going to miss out.
I think you're saying this now because you're currently set 3rd in the Premier League.
Retrospectively, if you finish this season in 5th, which by is entirely
point,
possible,
by 1 point,
would you still be saying, I really wish that it was top 4?
Take it, but it'll be a little less sweet, wouldn't it, than finishing in the top 4 and doing it like the classic way to do it.
But top 4 is only a top 4 is only respected because that's historically what it's supposed to be. If it then becomes top 5, that's the new thing you want to attain, right?
And if you look at the quality of the Premier League now, like, it used to be there were 4 big teams in the league pretty much, and those 4, unless something crazy happened, it was Arsenal, United, Chelsea, Liverpool. So unless something crazy happened, those 4 would be the top 4.
Like, whereas now,
you've got Spurs, Chelsea, Newcastle, even Brighton, all playing at the level where they can compete for it. So I think it's a good thing.
Do you think Brighton are going to be at the level next year if they lose all their players?
Nah.
But they could just sign other new players and they're very good at that.
Yeah, but it's so difficult to keep doing that and keep like nailing the signings that you bring in.
I think they might be all right for next year, but it's 2-3 years down the line.
I wish they'd keep their players because genuinely, if you take the squad that they've got and the fully fit squad, they'd easily compete for top 4/5 next season.
They've got one of the best managers in the league.
Such a shame because they came up with Newcastle, remember? And we've obviously had a takeover to get here. They've just done it off the back of being really clever and well run.
Best owner in world football.
Mm.
And even everything behind the scenes, though, the scout network, it's just like, that's such a good club. It's what Everton should have been, really.
Yeah.
Based on the model after.
Well, Everton might go down along with Leicester.
Yep.
It's quite sad, really, isn't it? You know, you win the Premier League.
My dad is absolutely distraught, by the way.
Why aren't you distraught?
Because I'm not a Leicester fan. And you know this.
I think you are a Leicester fan.
Are you sure?
Whole family's from Leicester. You live in Leicester. Your whole family supports Leicester.
Yeah.
You're not a Leicester fan.
No.
That doesn't add up, though.
I don't
But you're from Leicester. And your family supports Leicester.
Calfridge supports England.
Support your local.
What do you that? No, he doesn't. He supports England and Scotland.
Well, I mean, he's lived in 20 different countries.
And he supports Vietnam.
I doubt that. But the point still stands. My dad is very sad.
Oh, well. I'm happy to see them go.
What? No way, man.
I'm happy to see them go.
Why?
When it conversations where they started trying to replace us in like the big 6.
So he's right, held man. A grudge.
I took it personally.
I mean, technically, they have more Premier Leagues than Arsenal in the last 20 years.
Yeah, they do. And they're going to be in the Championship. So, cheerio. Honestly,
that's harsh, man.
No, and they deserve it. And they deserve it because
they got a great stadium.
They deserve it. This season, a bunch of big players that they value at 70, 80 million quid, like Maddison, they're not stepping up. They haven't fought for it, and they deserve to go down.
Maddison's had a pretty good season.
Oh, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, but he's not fighting now. His numbers have been good, but he's not fighting now.
Yeah,
and they've got a lot of big players. They've got a lot of big players.
Missed the penalty, which is going to be very costly.
If you want to talk about missing penalties and sending clubs down, look no further than Patrick.
Well, Patrick, yeah.
The two clubs going down there.
With Maddison, I'm sure he has a clause where he can go for cheaper as well if he goes down. Mate,
they all know they're getting big moves.
Yeah, but he's not the kind of...
I'm not saying he's doing that, but
he's not the kind of person.
And also, you can't just put
shit because he
It's quite harsh to put all the weight on one man's shoulders.
No, it's not just him.
He's one of the only few players at Leicester who are actually getting them any form of points.
Yeah, it's not just him. I think players like Youri Tielemans, like we were linked to him loads, go nowhere near him because this whole season, pretty much, he knows he's moving away.
He scores a couple of worldies every year, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't keep you in the Premier League. So, and to be fair, I look at the teams that could go down if it wasn't Leicester, and I'd rather they stayed up. I rate the way that Forest have like just gone balls to the wall with signings.
Yeah,
like, that's
and
way
kept
better
Steve
than what.
Cooper
yeah, and kept
when,
Steve
when
Cooper
when they were in turmoil.
Which is another thing as well. All of the clubs, bar Palace, that have got rid of their managers are now struggling. Whereas the ones that stuck with them, Cooper, Forest, O'Neill at Bournemouth, and Moyes at West Ham.
O'Neill started out brilliantly, came out of the blocks fine, didn't he?
Yeah, started really well, then had a pretty poor period.
Yeah, a little bit of a blip.
And then,
but I think the fundamental problem at Leicester is that
they've been mismanaged for the entire season.
And they just never replaced Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah, that's another huge issue.
They've got two third-choice keepers battling for number one.
Literally, they have two championship goalies. No disrespect to them, but they have two championship goalies, very good championship goalies, trying to prevent 20 shots a game against them because their defence is still pretty poor.
And they've got Wout Faes, who's, I'm not being funny, the worst centre-back in the league.
Yeah.
And that's not even, I'm not even being harsh. I've not seen him play one good game. He scored more own goals than anyone. Ever. He gets a red card every week.
Yeah, he's not good. I think they'll struggle to come back up as well once they go down because they're going to lose so many. But they've got such a, like, the way their squad is built is just not designed for a club that had any idea that they would be going down.
There's a lot of people saying that they, is it them or is it the West Ham squad, the most talented squad to go down?
We had this discussion in the pitch side group chat, didn't we? Tom seems to think it's still West Ham. But
so Nate, who's that West Ham team?
So Decanio.
Decanio.
I don't know if Joe. I don't think he's ever been relegated. It's some big names there, I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, I don't think this Leicester team would replace that West Ham team.
Certainly not in terms of squad, but
I've got it here.
There's some big names in this Leicester squad going down. In terms of international players.
David James, Glenn Johnson.
Yeah.
Christian Daly.
Yeah, that's
Ian Pearce,
so clear.
Nigel Winterburn, Michael Carrick.
Lee
Joe Cole, Joe Cole, Decanio, Trevor Sinclair, Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, that's mentioned.
Leicester
probably second or third, then I would say, in terms of biggest teams to get relegated. Certainly bigger than Leeds or.
Jamie Vardy's not been at it this year, but I know he's an older
one. He's struggled with injuries and stuff.
Yeah, he has a lot. But, and to be fair to him, over the last few weeks, he actually popped up with a few goals here and there. They've just relied on certain players and they've, as you said, this hasn't. I'm sad to see Leicester go, man, if they go there is still hope.
Well, they could beat West Ham on the final day. West Ham seem to, or possibly might have checked out for the season if they win the Europa Conference League. Does that game happen after the final day of the season though? I'm pretty sure it does, right?
Yeah
okay, so they're probably going to focus all their efforts on winning that European trophy, which means Leicester have a really good chance of at least getting 3 points
I mean, the issue they've got is that they're going to lose away at Newcastle, 100%.
Yeah.
So the max they can end up on is like 33 points.
Yeah, but this means that if Everton don't get any more...
Yeah, if Everton... Well, they've got a better goal difference than Everton and Leeds as well, which could help, but it's going to be...
It's going to be tanked. Could come down to the last day.
Or it could not.
Tell you what...
If Everton beat Wolves, that's it. Three are down.
Yeah. Really? Looking at that, though, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's actually, if Everton beat Wolves, is it? They're done.
Pretty much, yeah.
Not mathematically, it is.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Well, yeah, but...
Because Forest have virtually saved themselves with that point at Chelsea as well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, snap, crackle.
Well, they'd have to, or Leeds and Leicester would have to win both games, which you just don't see happening.
Do you think Leeds, Big Sam can save Leeds?
No.
They had a good side. They should have beat us, you know?
No way.
Should they have beaten you though? Like they had, obviously with the penalty. I didn't think they were actually...
We were poor though.
Yeah.
Like they They're doing a classic, just loads of long balls, tons of men behind the ball.
I just don't.
Yeah, well, it's Big Sam tactics, right?
Yeah.
When I think for the hope of the Premier League drama end of the season vibes, that something interesting happens.
I mean, do you know
and
what?
It's not just Leeds and Leicester.
Their fixtures aren't actually that bad, Leeds. They've got away at West Ham.
Spurs at home.
And then Spurs at home.
Yeah.
That atmosphere, those Spurs players. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
They need to just, I hope it's not just as simple as what we see is watered down.
I want final day drama.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Patrick Bamford, but why are you not letting Rodrigo take everything? Like, he's their top goal scorer. He's one of their only good players. Mm. Why is it still on the shoulders of Patrick Bamford? Is he demanding
it? He's the penalty taker.
Yeah, but
should he be?
Yeah.
Is that his third penalty miss this season? He missed one against Arsenal when they should have got a result against Arsenal at home.
The lights went out, right?
Yeah, and he missed that one.
Rodrigo's on, 13 goals this season? 12 goals this season?
Yeah, something like that.
I think they need to be using the players that they...
Bamford just shouldn't be playing in general. Like, he's a confidence player.
He's only good
when he's on.
And you can even see it on the pitch. Half the time he looks like he's going to cry. He seems like a really...
I feel bad for him.
I feel really bad for him. He looks like such a nice lad, but half the time he's playing football, I think he's going to cry. I'm not even joking. He seems like such a nice guy. I feel so bad for him. Mm. He's such a confidence player. Yeah. And right now, he's in the bin. He's in the actual bin.
I probably know the reason why he's taking that penalty, by the way, even if Rodrigo's demanded it.
Because he captained himself in FPL.
Absolutely, yeah. I reckon that's...
You're saying he gets more FPL?
I reckon it's definitely...
And the survival of Leeds.
He's absolutely... By missing it, absolutely...
No, he wants to... You could be a hero and also get yourself loads of FPL points at the same time. No, that's a win-win.
True, though.
We got to touch on Liverpool because... My God.
Fair play.
What are they doing?
Fair play.
They keep winning. Wins after wins after wins. Now one point off United. Yeah. Manchester United, that is.
Game behind
Newcastle.
They game behind it.
Okay.
But still.
They're putting the pressure on.
Yeah.
They could sneak it. They could sneak it.
Honestly, I think they're going to make it and either also Man United's bottle.
Okay, so in that question, what game do either you or United drop points in?
Honestly, Brighton at home is a huge game for us. Yeah, but essentially, we need two wins. So, like, it's so feasible. Leicester should be a win, and it's Chelsea Brighton.
That Newcastle Brighton game is huge.
I'm getting
it's
nervous.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah,
I'm getting nervous because I think clubs have DNA, and you might not like it, but Arsenal's DNA is bottling, and Newcastle's DNA is disappointing me every single year.
Well, so also, you look sorry. Really quickly, Reeve.
Yeah, go on.
Brighton are only on 34 games played, 58 points.
Yeah.
4 games remaining, which means they can get 12. They could finish hypothetically on 70 points. They win all their remaining games.
One of them is against Manchester,
which I would say would get them top 4.
70 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're running is Newcastle away.
No. Because United have 3 left. Newcastle have 3 left. They're going to get more than 4.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Essentially, Liverpool are going to win the next 2 games. No matter the remaining games.
This is what I mean. It requires somebody else to fumble.
But it's the Premier League, man. It's Barkley.
They will, man.
Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Brighton are knocking. They're knocking on the door.
But the benefit is, even if you lose to Brighton, you're still on 66 points and a point ahead.
Yeah, it's completely in our hands. But I do genuinely think Liverpool makes it. I think either we choke or Man United choke. I think Liverpool are putting that pressure on, mate.
Yeah, but that's all they can do. And then what's going to happen? You guys just win the games.
So say against Brighton, we get a point or we lose. I know it can start getting a bit shaky. Like Chelsea.
It's already shaky. You're through to Leeds.
Yeah, that's what I mean, man. That's why I'm smelling a bit of a...
I don't see it.
I see it from us or Man U. I think Liverpool's in. Swear down.
Really?
Well, look,
when it happens, it's straight on.
When it doesn't happen, we delete that.
If Liverpool do get it, it'll be down to two men, wouldn't it? It'll be down to Trent, because my God, he is so freaking good, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Salah got a hat-trick of assists.
He did.
And Curtis Jones.
Curtis Jones,
kicked on well.
Playing well. He's playing very well. But Trent, do Liverpool still need a centre mid in the summer? If they've got Trent?
Yeah, no, they can't. they need a person to be alongside him. They can't have Fabinho and Curtis Jones for the entire
season. Fabinho won't play next year. There's no way.
Well,
man, he's 38 years old.
He is an old boy, but I mean, they don't have any other sixes, do they, really?
They'll buy one.
Yeah, who? Who are they interested in?
Jude Bellingham. Liverpool, yeah.
They want McAllister, don't they?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of centre mids going at the moment, isn't there, really?
There's a lot of centre mids. Not as many sixes, but right. There's that guy, Ugarte, from Sporting Lisbon, who's very, very good.
Yeah, I know him.
Probably the reason they beat us at home.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of, like, midfield options, which is why I don't think any of them are going to be crazy, crazy expensive. Because once you get like Declan Rice for 120 million, if that's what they're asking for, I think most teams will go, we'll go and get like Onana from Everton or someone like that. Yeah, but
especially if they go down.
Yeah.
Can't just rip Brighton apart.
No, I think Caicedo has to leave. Well, not has to leave, because that's really harsh. But I mean, like, that boy is a top four player.
He's only 21.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Bro, he plays every position on the pitch and he comes away man of the match. Yeah. Like, actually a joke.
It is outrageous.
Dude.
I'd want him at Arsenal. If we don't get Declan Rice, Caicedo.
Well, Arsenal were linked with him, were they not?
Yeah, we still are. Yeah, I want them both. Declan Rice Edo is the future of our midfield.
Yes. Nice.
What a midfield that would be, by the way. Yeah. Rice, Caicedo and Ødegaard.
Oh,
that's Phil.
Delicious. And then Smith-Rowe back midfield in the eight when he transforms into a...
Yeah, that's Smith-Rowe.
Is that the best midfield in Premier League if you have that midfield?
No, it's Manchester
City. It's still Rodri.
Rodri, Gundogan, KDB.
It's still an average age of like 21 as well.
Yeah. Rodri and De Bruyne are still at City.
But you're after Thuram as well though, right? So, I mean, Newcastle's midfield is pushing it.
Yeah, we're going to go for one.
Bruno, Guimaraes, Joel, and Tinturam.
But we might just go boring and get McTominay, so that's fun.
No, Marcus is the striker. It's,
not Linus.
No. Oh, something to it. It begins with S.
Stephen.
Yeah.
Stephen Turam. Obviously, before the Leicester-Liverpool game, though, history was made. Howard Webb, obviously the head of VAR. I thought he came across very, very well.
He is the most intelligent ref in football, isn't he?
Really? Yeah, he is pretty good, actually. They released the audio from multiple refereeing decisions throughout the season. Notably, though, not the really controversial ones.
No, they didn't want to address those. Just the ones they got perfect.
No, they didn't want to address the ones they apologised for.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, what's the word? Not apologise. Corrected statement. I use a different word rather than apologise. Yeah. But this has to stay. I'm sorry, but it's the only way referees will ever get any form of just respect after decisions, because you can, at the end of the day, they are humans and football fans get on their back so quickly. But if they actually listen to the way they're talking to each other and the decision and the reasoning why they're making certain decisions, then I think people will just be more human.
Absolutely. It's like 100%. When people watch our TikTok clips and they go, what the f-? And then come over to our YouTube videos where we say it in full and they go,
They don't do that for me. they don't do that for me. But I thought something interesting Howard Webb said was, Neville was asking him, would we want to see this like in games live?
Yeah.
And Howard Webb said, well, we can't do that because it's against the FIFA rules. You can't play live refereeing audio. He said, however, you know, we're speaking to them.
Yeah.
So could you see a rule change where, like in rugby, you hear the commentary live?
Perhaps.
Yeah. I also think, like, one of the reasons people talk about why we can't do it is because of the bad language. But you hear it on occasionally in rugby matches where there's bad language and the commentator goes, sorry for the language if you heard it. Like, any kid that's watching football, if you go to a football game, you're going to hear far worse than that anyway. So I think the language thing is just like...
Do you also think the language thing actually... If players know that they're getting broadcasted to millions of people, might be like...
Yeah, you'd get shamed pretty quickly.
You would get shamed. Probably and also would, you'd see a lot less of the players just swarming the referee.
Yeah.
So I think there's only positives to come from it.
It did happen a lot less in crowdless matches as well during COVID, didn't it? When you could hear players like,
head
to him!
Yeah.
But they never really went to referee and threatened them because there's no like...
Shit house.
They're not in the arena, you know?
The main thing I found annoying about that segment though was because we saw the clips where they'd done really well, I was like, how have you got so many things so badly wrong? Like, if that's what it works, how it works and you have all of this conversation going on, you think about, like, I don't even want to talk about Arsenal, but you think about, like, the Brighton-Spurs game, where they were just some absolute...
I was hoping that would come up.
It's like, I really want to hear what they were talking about then, because it's...
Do you know what's happened? I genuinely think Howard Webb has, like, listened to that audio.
Oh, God, we can't hear
that. And it's like, oh, my God, we can't hear that. he said for example, the offside Arsenal-Brentford, when it was offside and they forgot to look at that player. I think Howard said it was a processing issue with the process throughout the thing. I was like, he knows he's had a stink. Yeah. He's had to fire someone over something.
Someone at Stockley Park was having a sandwich.
It's onside. Offside.
Oh, zoomed in.
But, right? But the thing is, even if you heard that, if you heard just absolute carnage behind the scenes, you'd at least still go, okay, they're morons. Rather than what a lot of people or some people end up with conspiracy theories of, oh, it's deliberate and stuff like that. At least you'd completely rule out
you
that, which is
idiocy, but not corruption.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they should have touched on the Brighton Spurs one because I think a lot of people were thinking, oh my God, there is such an agenda here. Yeah. This is actually really bad.
Yeah.
But if you heard the idiocies that was happening, I'm guessing, then you actually can maybe understand it.
Yeah, you'd almost find it laughable.
But they should have discussed the ones that they've apologized for. But also at the same time, you can see like, why would they discuss it when they know that they've already admitted
the
error?
And this is the chance of, or at least the first point of turning a corner, right? When it comes to them addressing their issues, you don't jump in with that because everyone just like berates them.
Given how good the feedback generally was on Twitter about what a good thing this is, you'd hope that they'll see that and be like, okay, we should.
I think that's what Haldo was hoping for. I think if he starts off lightly, and I think, okay, we're getting a good feedback from this, let's see what we can do next. I think he is definitely the right man to be implementing.
He's a good face.
It
was disappointing that Carragher and Neville didn't really press him on any of those things, because even if they didn't have the clips, I'd have still liked it if they'd been a bit more like.
But I feel like they were told.
It's mainstream media, though.
They said on the thing it was the first time they were seeing it as well, so I guess you can't even prep on what you might ask them in the moment if you haven't got the clips.
But
in advance.
I definitely think they would have been asked to like just. Like, this is the first time it's happening. Give him at least a few minutes. Give him a break. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it could have backfired. It could have had a horrible reception on Twitter. Yeah. It just so happened that Howard Webb did an unbelievable job at talking through everything and being very reasonable with everything as well.
But overall, if you have that, if after every game, every big decision, you hear all of that, because it just... At the moment, we hear like either Gary Neville or Peter Walton or fucking Dermot Gallagher coming out like a day after going, well, I think this is probably what they were thinking at the time. It's like, what a pointless piece of coverage that is if we can just hear what they were actually
and
thinking.
And also, a lot of times you get, say, like Peter Walton or Dermot Gallagher saying, I think this is thing. And then Gary Neville and whoever's on company be like, mate, you're just wrong. Like, this is just, it's not how it works.
Yeah.
I think, or match of the day, or after, as you said, after the game, even if they're not allowed to do it live because of the rule changes, hopefully that gets changed. But as you said, they should release footage on certain things because it would clear up so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Because it would, rather than people speculating for days, it would be like, oh, this was it.
Yeah.
Easy. And you can humanize the referees because I feel like they do get victimized. And look, we're guilty of it ourselves. Mm. But at the same time,
I'm very
get it right.
With it. I start going through their LinkedIn, finding out where they were born.
That's psychotic behavior, though.
Probably.
Boy, that's psychotic.
Going on Amazon and buying referee outfits so you can join the next referee meeting. Just slip in and be like, I'm like an A-hole.
Touching back on Liverpool and Newcastle and whatnot, I thought this was a very... good point that was brought up. Neville said Newcastle have had a bit of a wobble, but actually, is that the case? When across the last six games, both Manchester United and Newcastle United have got the same points in 10.
Well, also, the teams that Newcastle have dropped points to, i.e. Arsenal, is that like, we're title contenders, is that a wobble? That's a bit harsh.
If you even go in the last three, we actually have more points of them. If you want to go more recent, we have four out of three. So
that
anyone,
was just
anyone
poor.
Have any idea what club Gary Neville played for?
It was just like poor punditry from Gary Neville, to be honest, because it is just waffle,
which is a rarity, because I actually think Gary Neville is one of the better pundits, and actually
he's good.
Annoyingly, he's getting proved correct.
He got the Man City prediction right.
But at the same time that he was predicting that, people are going back to our interviews in January where everyone else was trying to convince him to say that Arsenal would win the league, and he stuck by it. At the same time, he was saying that United were going to finish second.
And no, he did.
People
have
forgotten the part where he was saying United were going to finish second, and we haven't had
he's
it now.
He's just going to wind up.
He wrote a flipping dissertation on Twitter yesterday about why he was correct about Arsenal all along. And it's like, well, if you write another one about why Arsenal are 15 points clear of Man United when you thought they were going to finish second,
Neville that would definitely be rattles useful. You, didn't he?
When he's not talking about Arsenal or Man United, I don't mind him.
Yeah, when he's objective, he's got great.
But it probably happens to everyone when he's talking about your club and he's getting things wrong. and he's not being as like critical of Man United as he is about your club, then I think it just rattles everyone.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It is what it is. He's not bad compared to a lot of people.
We like G-Nevs.
If you start talking about Jamie O'Hara and flipping Jason Cundy on TalkSport, abysmal. That's not even a good listen. Honestly, that
gives me a headache sometimes when I tune in at 10 o'clock.
I can't stand it.
Drive bar?
Yeah,
drive
whatever, bar? Whatever it is.
Nah, we like him, man.
I can't stand it.
Now we like TalkSport.
I like parts of TalkSport, but those two in particular.
Not quite pitchside though.
No, it's not pitchside.
You know, Gary Neville was once a wonder kid when he came for United.
Wow.
Along with a lot
nice.
Of players. Yeah, do you know
that? A segue.
Yeah, so I thought, you know what? Why not create our Premier League Wonder Kid 11? Because a lot of players have scored over the weekend who were wonder kids, aka Mr. Trent Alexander-Arnold.
At one point. Not now, though.
Not anymore. So
the stipulation is 23 and under.
Don't take the piss.
Yeah, we're gonna preface this that a wonder kid would be on the edge of someone that's coming through the ranks, not Erling Haaland, who is Premier League Golden Boot all-time leading goal scorer.
But he is under 23, and that's part of
the
rules.
He is under 23, but...
Got a lot of potential to grow into.
Yeah, but they're going to... They're really good now, but they're going to get even better.
Well, I think they're the same. I think Haaland is that good.
Well, of course.
So I'd like to start with my team.
Right, so have you got Erling Haaland in your team?
Well, you have to find out, won't you?
Okay.
I actually struggled with the goalkeeper on this one. I've gone for a 5-3-3.
That's too many players, but fair enough. That's straight out of Todd Bowley's playbook, that is.
Okie dokie then.
I'm gonna remove one
of my centre backs.
Okay.
All right.
In goal, I've got the relegated man himself, Bazunu.
Really?
Yeah. 21. I struggled with the goalkeeper, man. I thought
let him off.
Yeah, Bazunu, man.
He's been packed in all year, man. Let him off.
He's a good shot stopper.
But actually he's not.
Okay.
His expected goals conceded the discrepancy is like the worst in the league.
Well, he's Southampton.
I think it's like minus 20.
Give him a break, okay? Just give him a break.
Okay.
He's 21. He's one of the only young goalkeepers in the league.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
You can do a job.
Yeah, that was the toughest position.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to go 4-3-3 now, aren't I? I've got three centre backs. So, right back, I've gone Rico Lewis.
Great shot.
Left back, I've gone Lewis Hall.
Okay, yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
People love him at Chelsea and he looked fucking good, to be honest.
I said this last time, but I found out he's actually a centre mid.
No, he's left back that can play centre mid, I think. Or is he centre mid that can play left back? He's a bit like that Trent Alexander role.
It's the new thing, isn't it?
It's
the new thing, fullbacks that can play in the field.
Now, I've got three centre backs, which obviously I have to get rid of one. I've got Mark Gahey, Saliba, and Fofana. Are they wonder kids?
Yeah.
Who do I get rid of?
I'd get rid of Gahey, to be honest.
Yeah, but then I feel like a cop out because is Saliba a wonder kid or did he win like Player of the Year in Ligue 1?
Yeah, but he's the youngest.
I'll get rid of Guehi.
I was going to say get rid of Saliba. So then
did Saliba? Saliba.
Variety because we have Saliba, I think.
I'll get rid of Guehi.
Okay, cool.
But he's good. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I like Palace a lot actually, which is ironic because arch rivals are Brighton. My midfield three.
What?
M23 Derby, man.
Yeah, but you're adamant that you're not a Brighton fan.
Yeah, but I'm from that area.
Right.
I like Palace because Stannard likes Palace.
Okay, yeah, he does.
Jacob Ramsey.
Good shout.
Yeah, I liked him a lot last year as well. I had him at FPL because I thought he was a fucking baller.
You're lying.
Yeah, I like Jacob Ramsey a lot. Caicedo from Brighton, only 21 years old.
What?
Chat.
Oh, I should put him in mine.
Oh.
Bring him up there. I thought he was like...
No, it's 20 mental, isn't it?
All right, yeah.
Are you taking the piss?
I thought he was older.
What?
He plays like he's old.
I thought he was old. He's so mature.
To run in the field,
yeah, good shout.
You can't put him in.
No, I'm not going
to. And then my boy, Harvey Vale. He's at Chelsea. He's the captain of the under 21 side. I think he was on loan at Hull City.
Mm.
He is apparently the future of Chelsea Football Club.
Right.
He is. And he's a nice lad. And I beat him in a challenge, but the video's not being released yet. Yeah, so keep an eye out.
Does that make you a wonder kid then?
It does make me a wonder kid technically. Yeah. Keep an eye out on Harvey Vale.
Mm.
I hope Chelsea fans will back me on that one.
They probably will do. That's the whole point of being right?
Yeah. My front three are Garnacho. 18. Are you a joke? Are you a joke? Elise. Palace. And Erling Haaland.
Did you actually put him in?
Well, he's a wonder kid.
Fair enough. Yeah,
you're telling me that he's 22 years old.
Yeah, but
he's
so
22,
like,
and honestly, I think this is just the start. But he's about to get better.
Yeah,
what is a wonder kid?
That's undeniable, but
because you've left out players like Saka.
Yeah,
which I've left out Saka, Haaland, all of them because they're not.
I drew a line at the players that are already at the level
top level
of
players.
Yeah, so, but for me, a wonder kid is a person that could win like young Ballon d'Or as opposed to the actual Ballon d'Or.
Yeah,
well, Jude Bellingham can still win young Ballon d'Or at the same time as
winning Ballon d'Or. But that's what I mean. Like they're so good now, they're respected amongst the elite.
Okay, fine.
Football.
I will get rid of Haaland. I will put back.
You say he's going to get better. So how many goals does he score? How many goals does he score next season?
70. All comps.
Fair play.
And then the season after?
The other option I could have is got rid of Haaland and done five of the back with Guehi.
Yeah, I could have done that. Yeah, why not?
What, and play with...
No, stick with Haaland. Yeah. Stick with the Haaland thing.
I think he's going to get better. Honestly.
No, the logic is absolutely sound.
Also, have you seen the stat on Saka recently?
He's got more games
Saka,
than...
Hang on. Yeah. Saka, at this age, compared to Messi at this age, has got like 50 more goals and assists.
No, it's games played.
Yeah, I don't think it's goals
and
assists.
Not goals and assists, it's games played. Messi.
I need glasses, man.
Messi at 21.
I realised I need glasses.
Messi at 21 had like 138 games played. Saka's had like 179.
Okay, so what's the point? What about Foden?
No, but the point is that Saka's played a minimum of like 43 games a season since he started playing football.
I hope he doesn't like die.
But that's the prop. That's what people are saying. Like,
that's why he looks so tired.
Well, look at Michael Owen.
Yeah, that he could obviously.
But I think modern medicine, modern everything.
Yeah, I don't think he's got more goals than assists than Messi at 21. I'd be very surprised if that's true.
I did realise I need glasses recently, so...
Mate. But not a bad team.
Well, choosing to read something isn't glasses.
I had a glance, I didn't read it.
Okay.
I did the old classic Baker glance and took it for fact.
I mean, why not?
That's a good team, though, I think.
No, it's very good.
It is a decent team.
Shall I go with mine?
Yeah, go on.
Go across the board. In goal, had the same issues, but I am going to go with Whitworth of Crystal Palace. I think he's played like two games this season.
Seen a lot of him.
Pretty good. What? Well, no, Palace have had keeper struggles, haven't they? And for what he's played, he's been all right. We said it was the hardest position. All right? You picked the guy who's getting relegated.
Played every game this season.
He's not played every game this
season. Pretty much.
He doesn't even play now.
Shut up.
Okay. Rico Lewis as well, obviously.
Yeah.
I also have Fofana and Saliba, and then partnering them, it's kind of, I'm getting away with it a little bit, Levi Colwell, because he can also play left back, which is, you know,
fair enough. No, he was unreal against Arsenal.
He's so good. He is, yeah. And Chelsea fans.
He's going back to Chelsea as well.
They're demanding him back.
Yeah.
But sorry, just going to go.
Really quickly, you know, Dunk.
Yeah.
15 years at Brighton, and you come from the third.
Such an underrated player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Gundogan.
I'm pretty sure I saw Dunk play as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. Anyways, carry on.
Midfield three of Jacob Ramsey, as you said, Romeo Lavia. And Bajetic.
No Caicedo.
No.
Mm.
You told me I couldn't include him in the 20 seconds that you finished your team into my one.
Well, you should have included him in from the start.
Lavi is a shout.
Yeah, really.
Bajetic is fucking...
Yeah, I think Lavi
Liverpool
goes
fans
to like
him.
Man United, in all honesty.
Really?
Yeah, someone like that pick him up. Or even Liverpool could.
Yeah.
Anyway. front three of Garnacho, as you said. Alisse, also the same. And Evan Ferguson.
Oh, you love Evan Ferguson. I forgot about Evan.
It's decent.
Yeah, that is decent good.
Squad. He's only 18. Hey.
Yeah, no, he is good.
That's
really, really good.
Squad. I like it.
Yeah, I like that actually a lot.
So notable omissions, obviously, of like Haaland, Saka, Foden, Martinelli, et cetera.
But they are also world-class players.
Yeah. I think they're too good for the bracket of Wonder Kid now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like if you scouted them on FM, they wouldn't be a Wonder Kid. They'd be like, bloody hell, these guys are already...
If you're worth 80 million quid, unfortunately, you can't be a Wonder Kid.
Yeah.
I've got Fofana in.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Go on, Rory.
All right. I've actually gone Bazunu in goal as well.
Okay.
The reason being, I take your points about XG conceded compared to what... But he's 21, which to do a full season, I'm seeing it in terms of the future.
Yeah.
Look how well it did someone like Ramsdale at that age to get hit with the relegation. I think he will kick on.
21 for first team football as a goalkeeper is very...
It's outrageous.
Yeah,
outrageous.
Do you think he comes back to Premier League football? I don't think...
I think he might do a season in the Championship, but again, he'll be 22.
What, you think Southampton yo-yo and bounce back?
No, I think he'll do a season in the Championship and then similarly to how Ramsdale got
and get signed by a promoted club.
Possibly, yeah. I've then gone Patterson at right back.
Yeah, good shout.
Instead of Rico Lewis.
Just struggled with injury though, hasn't he?
He has, but that's one of those things. If he can shape that, I think it'll be good. I've then gone Saliba and Benoit Badiashile as my centre back.
Yeah.
Just because Badiashile was obviously, compared to Fofana, was far cheaper.
Yeah.
And actually, I'd argue has looked more impressive when I've seen him than Fofana.
Fofana's had the injury struggle.
Yeah.
Leg break and ACL.
Yeah, it's grim.
Poor guy.
It is. It's unfortunate.
It's big.
I've then also gone Cole Will at left back, similarly to you. Mm. I had to fit him in somehow, and I didn't want to do a five at the back. I've then got Caicedo, Enzo Fernandes.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Who I know he was. I know he's 100 million, but you've got to bear in mind the start of this season.
No, I agree.
He only signed for Benfica at the start of this season. Yeah. So I think you can still consider him a wonder kid.
He literally is a wonder kid because he won young golden ball thing. Yeah.
The young thing.
The young award behind Messi.
And I've also put Morgan Gibbs-White in there.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Yeah.
Just as more of an attacking eight player. And then I've got a front three of Brennan Johnson off the right, Gabby Martinelli off the left, because I still think he's got another big gear to go up.
I had Martinelli in my side.
Yeah, and really, this was his first he looked good previously, but this was his first proper breakthrough season. Because even last season, he wasn't getting as much game time.
No, I back it.
And then Evan Ferguson down the middle, and then obviously all the notable omissions, Foden and all that. Look, because they're already
lovely
established.
What about you, boy?
You actually made a team list.
Yeah, because he's got Grant Quall up front.
Grant Quall.
Whoa, spoiler alert. Maybe anything. Bazunu and goal. I agree for all the same reasons that you said. That young player in the Premier League. Interesting one here. Livramento in right back.
When was the last
fair
time?
Enough. When was the last time
he played?
Yeah, he's injured at the moment, but
it was good. 21-22 though, right?
Yeah.
Botman, 23 years old.
Oh, shit.
Going to be, what do you mean? He's going to become one of the best centre-backs in the league.
He's not a wonder kid. Oh, whatever. Come on.
He's as much of a wonder kid as Saliba is then, right?
This next one probably is harsh for a wonder kid because of his price, but Fofana had a poor season, but everyone at Chelsea has.
We both said him. Why are you saying it like he's not?
Fofana.
Yeah, there you go.
Then I'm going to play Rico Lewis on the left because I was struggling.
Nice.
Caicedo in there. Harvey Elliott as well from Liverpool.
Interesting, yeah.
Elliott Anderson. This guy is going to be the best Scottish player if we get him at England.
That's like ever.
No, I swear. Hopefully England convince him to choose us over Scotland because this guy is absolutely unbelievable. I'm not even joking. He's class. He went to Bristol. No championship club wanted to loan him last season. Went to Bristol Rovers and scored a ton of goals for Barton. Anyways, Garnacho out on the right. I can't stand him, but he's just really good.
Yeah, he is.
I can't believe he took his top off still. It's embarrassing. Grant Kowal up front. Grant Kowal, hard to do him dirty at the moment. They won't play him, but when he comes to the Premier League, and then Isak out on the left. That guy will be better than Thierry Henry.
Why
would you say that? No, he's not going to be better than Thierry Henry.
3 years' time.
You're telling me Grant Kowal? You're telling me Isak is going to win the Premier League Golden Boot 3 years in a row and a World Cup?
I think he has potential to.
I think the question, you have no idea, man.
Do you think that's his final position then?
Off the left.
Do you think he's a left winger?
I think, I don't know.
He can definitely be bought as your future number nine.
Up front, I'll play in behind the striker, but he can go out left. You can play him anywhere. This guy is so silky and unbelievable. I completely agree with you, but I think he's...
I think he's already well-respected enough to not be a wonder kid, right?
Well, no, so he's at this high level. I genuinely think he's going to go to be one of the world's best players.
You think he's going to be
three, 4 years, I think he's up there with the best players we have in the world.
Man, he's not going to win a Golden Boot 3 years in a row.
No.
You might.
I think Harvey Elliott was the worst one of your shouts.
Do you know who else?
No, we like Harvey Elliott.
I don't mind him as a guy, but even at Liverpool, I put Curtis Jones and Bjakatic ahead of him.
But you've got to remember, Harvey Elliott's also struggled with a horrific leg break.
So much experience as well in the Premier League.
Wasn't it?
He was out for a long time. He's had a full season this season,
and I just, for me, I don't know, he's just not strong enough.
I was thinking
Harvey Elliott time.
Yeah, Carney Chukwuemeka was my Jacob Ramsey option.
I think give Harvey Elliott time and he'll come through. I think next season could be a big season for him.
It could be. I might be wrong. I might be proven wrong. Chukwuemeka, by the way.
Yeah, Carney Chukwuemeka's.
Yeah.
He's a boy.
Just haven't seen enough of him. I don't know why he's not played more either, because it's not like Chelsea have been cooking.
They've just announced now that they're not releasing him for the under 20s World Cup until the end of the season. So it's like they still want
to
use
him. Lewis Hall's not allowed to go either. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of players who aren't allowed to go to the under thingy World Cup.
Until the end?
Until the end of the season, yeah.
Yeah. They can go, just not until the season's done.
Yeah.
You can't play. It's in the summer.
I know we touched on it earlier about relegation, but who's going down for you lot?
I hope it's not as simple as what it is. I hope that there's some drama. And I still think that one of the teams in the bottom three could potentially scrape it through. Now, obviously, given the fixtures and what we addressed earlier, it's likely to be Leeds out of the three in the bottom, I reckon.
So I think Leicester are 100% gone.
Yeah.
It's between Leeds and Everton, right?
Yeah.
Everton have got Wolves away. Looking at the Wolves' performance against United, I think they're on holiday. So I think Everton could get a win.
But is that Wolves?
Yeah, it
and
is.
They're very good at home.
Is it? I guess it is their final home game of the season, so they might put a fight up. But then Everton got Bournemouth at home final day of the season, and Bournemouth are definitely on holiday. So I think Everton will do it. I think it will just be Leeds and Leicester.
The big problem for Leicester comparative to Everton and Leeds is that Everton and Leeds' final games are both at home.
Yeah. I mean, the only other ones that could get dragged into it if the others win are still Forest aren't safe yet.
And not mathematically,
got,
but I think
they've got Arsenal and Palace away.
Yeah.
So that could be two losses. But they might survive on 34 points anyway.
And they could get a draw against the City Ground because they always seem to manage a result against.
They could actually. So yeah.
Remember the amount of times that we've been there? And don't think we came away with a win once, did we?
No.
Came away dizzy though.
Dizzy.
Yeah, dizzy penalty.
After I missed a penalty. Yeah, I missed a penalty at the City Ground, I can't lie.
Oh, sad time.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Leeds and Leicester.
Yeah, but
so we all think Leeds
I don't want it to be as simple as that, though.
I'm genuinely sad to see
a romantic
Leicester,
end to the
I'm
Premier
sad
League
to see Leicester.
Season.
I hope they do it. Imagine they go to Newcastle and win.
Please when was the last time that no promoted clubs went down?
Because
that's
a great question, man.
That's three.
That's a great.
But regardless, that's probably going to happen, right?
Yeah, unless Forest get dragged down.
Yeah, that's insane.
I think it's really rare.
Did Sheffield United came up and finished?
They survived the first year and then went down second year.
No, but their first year, they were what?
1997. When Bolton, Barnsley and Crystal Palace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just double checking.
Obviously, you've got Burnley and Sheffield United coming up at the moment. It's currently 2-1 Sunderland and 0-0 against Luton. So Luton. And 0-0 between Middlesbrough and Coventry
that
right now.
That game was so tedious, man.
Middlesbrough-Coventry. Oh, yeah, Coventry aren't a...
Who do you think goes up?
Borough.
You think it's going to be Borough under Carrick?
Yeah.
Or Sunderland.
I want Luton. I think it's going to be a hell of a game between Middlesbrough and Sunderland in the final.
Oh, that'd be so if it's them in the final.
I think it will be them in the final.
Can you imagine it's the Coventry-Luton final?
I mean...
That'd be mad.
What's the... I read somewhere recently that all of the North East are going to be in London at the same time if Sunderland and Borough.
Okay, with Chelsea, is it? Newcastle?
Yeah.
Stamford Bridge? Yeah,
I think so.
It's the same weekend.
That's a busy weekend. Yeah. Oh, everyone in the world is coming to London.
Yeah, that's mental, isn't it?
Out of the teams that could, you know, Burnley, Sheffield United and potentially the playoff teams, who stays up next season, do you think?
Burnley for sure. I think if Vincent Kompany stays, given the project that he wants to have there,
yeah,
definitely Burnley.
It already
I don't
sounds
think
like
the other two do though.
I think they go down.
Maybe Borough do. If Borough come up, maybe
and the Carrick.
Go. Yeah, exactly.
He's turned that club around.
Yeah,
they could have gone down. Yeah. Avoided a charge.
Yeah.
Things you just never know because everyone was certain that Bournemouth would go down this season, and
yeah, and it also depends on the transfer window and that, doesn't it? Yeah.
But people again were making that judgment. With it being Scott Parker's Bournemouth.
True. Although I don't very think different. If you told anyone, oh, actually, it's not going to be Scott Parker, it's going to be Gary O'Neill.
It's true. But you can only predict face value, right?
Yeah.
So
I probably want Sunderland back, you know.
Like, you want to be derby. Yeah.
I've missed the derby. It's been a while since they started spanking us a few years. We had a bit nice vacation.
What do you mean by that? Now, Reeve.
Yo!
I've got some incredible news for you.
Go on.
We now have over 9,500 members in the Pitchside Mini League, man.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
That is nuts. We have a goal.
and a dream. I have a dream to hit 10,000 members in the Pitchside Middle League.
Before the season ends.
Could we do it? It's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think we can do it. So what do people need to do?
People need to check the description of the Pitchside clips on YouTube. Click the link.
Or this video.
Or this video. Yeah, it'll be here as well. And sign up to Super 6 and use the code PTCHS6 to join the Pitchside Mini League.
Mate, it's free to play and you got a shot at winning £250,000.
Such a good deal, man.
I'm not even joking. It's actually a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like, I want to win 250 grand. Do you know how close people got? Barring the Brighton game last week.
Yep. Almost perfection for everyone.
If Arsenal had won, basically, there were so many scorelines that someone would have won the 250.
Yeah.
But alas, football happened and Brighton won 3-0. I'm not sad about it.
But the people that would have predicted an Arsenal win on Super 6 probably. And of course, this week's winner was the wonderful Ethan Easton. He came top of the league with 24 points. That's impressive. That
very good.
Yeah, very
unlucky.
Good. Yeah, unlucky. Well...
You got the £100 Classic Football Shirt voucher, which is class.
Football Shirt voucher.
Trust me, that it's a banger, but unlucky on not winning the 250 grand.
Yeah. And I finished joint third.
Did you really?
Yep.
What the hell?
22 points.
Mate, you're amazing. You're absolutely amazing. Super 6 will obviously be in touch with Ethan to arrange your prize. And as we said, if you're not yet joined the Mini League, use the code PTCHS6 within the app to join our Mini League and using the link in the description down below. Now, Reeve.
Yes.
Who would you say? Is the greatest penalty taker of all time.
Do you want me to... Should we do six? Because it's Super 6.
Yeah, but I want to know who's your number one first.
You want to know who I've... Doesn't that just ruin the entire point of the list? You want me to make it progressive, no?
I'm excited.
Okay.
Because I would argue...
I was about to say it.
Well, no, because I would argue... there's everyone puts this one guy at the top of their list. And I would argue, actually, he shouldn't be there.
Do you want me to say my greatest penalty taker of all time?
Yeah.
Who I think, if there was a penalty given to him in the biggest moments of world football, who would I put my entire house on to score?
So? Penaldo.
Yeah, Penaldo. He's literally christened Penaldo.
He's scored, I think, 100...
Cristiano Penaldo.
143 penalties.
That is a joke, mate. That is
he's done
so
in Champions
ridiculous.
League finals. I've seen him do the suey to win them the Champions League.
Win the Champions League final on the international stage in the biggest competitions, club level.
Do you know what the thing I like about him is that he doesn't have an order in which he takes his penalty in the penalty shootout. He won't have a specific place. If it's the winning pen, Sui is there to take it. And you know what? He'll score it every time.
Yeah. Well, he has the kind of perfect ego that is matched for knowing you have the confidence to score.
And I think the goalie knows as well. I said, who's going to take the winning penalty? Shit. It's Ronaldo. Obviously, he's going to score.
Yeah.
Like, he don't miss. Well, he does miss sometimes.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to the big moments, that's who you want on the penalty.
Obviously, you could, you know, choose your list based off conversion rate or percentage scored. But sometimes in the biggest moments, it doesn't matter if you've scored, you know what I mean? Like, if you've got 100% conversion rate and people still think you're not guaranteed to score. That's what's crazy about Ronaldo is every time he gets a penalty, you go, wow, that's a goal.
Yeah. And also, look, we're obviously talking about Letizia right here.
Yeah, okay? That's who you
meant. He scored
meant
48
before,
out of 49 penalties. You think, oh my God, he's the greatest penalty taker of all time.
Yeah.
Statistically, maybe yes.
Well, statistically, yes.
Yeah, in terms of conversion rate. Yeah. But at the same time, has he done it in a Champions League final?
Exactly.
Has he done it in the Euros?
Yeah.
Has he done it in the World Cup?
There's a difference between the test of bottle in a regular Premier League game and a Champions League final.
Because I'm not being funny. I didn't miss a single penalty.
At youth level?
For Bournemouth.
Yeah, exactly.
My university team.
Yeah.
It was not even real Bournemouth. It was like the Sunday
you
league version.
In front of an 80,000 crowd at Bernabeu in the final.
I probably am scoring as well.
Fuck, right.
But you know what I mean? Pressure is the penalty.
And Ronaldo's been tested at every single one.
Yeah, I agree.
So run me through some others on your list.
So I've not ordered them, except Ronaldo's at the top.
Sure, okay.
The only person at the top is Ronaldo.
Yes, okay.
The six players I would put money on scoring are these guys. Okay, we've got Ronaldo. I've put Letiz in there, purely out of respect to his conversion rate.
Yeah, it is a joke. Like, let's be real about it.
And also,
like,
technically, what a player.
Conversion rate.
If you're of an age, you'd think, wow, Letiz might be the greatest footballer to ever exist.
Yeah. We should pay homage to the generations that came.
Indeed. I know he missed a huge penalty in the Euros against Portugal, but Frank Lampard,
52 pen scored, 92% conversion. He scored a lot for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I know he missed it when it mattered.
60 out of 70 or something like that, I think it is, which is insane.
I think he scored 52 pens.
Has he?
I don't know. He's scored a lot. Either way.
Maybe in the Prem.
Frank Lampard, I'd put money on. Yeah. It was a toss up between him and Stevie G. Because I think Stevie G, Thunderbolt. But I think Frank Lampard for me. Another player I need to mention is Alan Shearer.
Yeah, definitely.
He is quintessential. There's a penalty of his he scored. I can't remember who it was, but he laces it top right corner and I try and copy it every time.
Yeah.
Not every time, but in a video. And then two names. And I'm using these names for the composure, the technicality of this player and the kahunas. Kahunas? The balls.
Yeah.
The testicles on these men. Yeah. Andrea Pirlo.
Yep.
Panenka. Joe Hart.
Yep.
See you later. Jog on, Pirlo. But also, well done. World Cup final.
Zinedine Zidane. Same.
They lost the final.
I think we've got similar lists.
They lost the final.
No, they didn't. They won against Italy. No, they won against Brazil, didn't they? Panenka'd...
They lost against Italy.
Big.
Italy won the World Cup. Marco Materazzi got headbutted by Zidane. Zidane got sent off.
But what was the...
It was the same game. France lost. Italy won. Cannavaro lifted the trophy. Are you okay there, brother?
I thought he Panenka'd it in the World Cup beforehand.
No. No.
Okay.
Because there's a shot of him walking down and he looks at the trophy.
Okay. Do that again.
No. I'm outing your ball knowledge. I'm not doing that again because that was me. People would ridicule me. Yeah, we're keeping this in, man. The ball's on Zinedine Zidane. Look at you. You're getting outed now. I hope you do. The ball's on Zidane to do that. And yes, you could say he almost missed it. And don't get me wrong, he did almost miss it. But it's a World Cup final. And you know what I think? I think he's aimed it to hit the crossbar and bounce over the line.
That would be ambitious.
It's Zidane.
It could very well possible.
It is Zidane.
Yeah.
He is arguably one of the greatest players ever. Not even arguably, he is one of the greatest players ever.
It's
an architect.
Greatest midfielder, you would say, right?
That's another debate. So in my top six, I've got Pirlo, Zidane, Ronaldo, Shearer, Letiz, Lampard. In my top six.
It's pretty similar to mine, actually.
Let me hear yours.
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to do.
Yeah, but I want to see if you've included someone that.
So, Sui. Number one.
Penny.
For me, I have Zidane actually higher than Letizia.
Oh, you ordered them?
Yeah, just because he did it on the biggest stage possible.
I didn't order mine.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. Then Letizia, then Shearer, then Pirlo, and then in at number six, because the way this guy makes me feel when he takes a penalty is different gravy, Ivan Toney.
You can't knock it. He's
when people look back at the greatest technique in penalty history... That's it.
You know, you could put him up there with the likes of Neymar because Neymar quite literally changed the rules in penalties.
Yeah.
Before Neymar existed, you were allowed to stop your run-up. Neymar then existed and FIFA had to change the rules to combat Neymar being overpowered. Mm. That's how good this kid is or was. Ivan Toney has also created a new technique. Ronaldo, the knuckleball.
Well, I mean,
Ivan Toney, look at the ball penalty.
Exactly. It's all a subjective list, right? And the fact that you can hand on heart say every time Brentford get a penalty, barring one ever, I think.
And well, for Peterborough, he missed.
No, but that's not Brentford. That Nick Pope obviously saved it. It's a goal. There's not many people ever that you could have said that. Given the fact that he, for the entire sequence of his penalty, never looks at the ball once.
I don't get how he does it.
A joke.
He must have some eyes like flickering or something.
I don't know. I actually
he's got one eye looking forward, one eye looking down.
You know, I've seen great penalty takers before, and that is the weirdest technique for success, I think.
But let me ask you this: it's a World Cup final. Your
I'd want
team
Toney on it. Yeah,
you want Toney on it over Ronaldo?
No. If that's the question you're about to ask, then obviously not. But
and notable admissions, by the way. No Lionel Messi.
No Lionel Messi. No Del Piero.
No Del Piero. Why no Messi, Reeve?
Too inconsistent with his penalties for me. Obviously the greatest player of all time, but not the greatest penalty takers.
The greatest player of all time, but yet you wouldn't trust him on a penalty in a World Cup final. Even though he did score a penalty in a World Cup final.
Well, you've got to be there first, haven't you? You've got to get to a World Cup final.
And Messi did.
No, of course.
He scored his penalty. So did Mbappe.
Right. Well, we're just listing players that have scored in World Cup finals, which is fine.
If he's the greatest... But, no, if you're calling Messi the greatest of all time, why, when he's proven that he can do it in a World Cup final, would you not have him on the World Cup final penalty over Ronaldo?
I didn't say that.
You literally just...
I said Ronaldo, he literally just said that. I just said I'd have...
You said you'd rather Ronaldo over Messi on a penalty.
Yeah.
But you're saying Messi's the greatest of all time, and he's literally taken a penalty in a World Cup final.
Why is Matt Letizia on your list ahead of Lionel Messi then?
So I wouldn't have Messi on a penalty.
But that's the same thing I just said.
No, but you said...
He's the greatest footballer of all time, but he's not in the greatest penalty takers of all time. It's a different conversation.
But I don't think he is the greatest of all time. Do you see? You can see my point I'm saying. You can see the point I'm saying here.
No, I can't.
You've called him the greatest footballer of all time.
Greatest
but the greatest footballer of all time should mean you would... On paper, if you're the greatest footballer of all time, Reeve isn't trusting you to take a penalty.
No.
Because can you be the greatest of all time?
Because a penalty is very specific. It's a dead ball moment where it relies completely
on... He scored a lot of pens.
He scored a fair amount.
He scored a World Cup final pen.
He has scored... Yeah, fair enough.
He's got a Copa America final pen.
Yeah. He's
so why aren't you putting him in your list?
Because there's been occasions where he's missed penalties. Quite consistently.
Ronaldo's missed penalties.
I don't look... For me... Yes, Messi is obviously the GOAT, but I don't look at Messi in a penalty situation and go, I think this is 100% going in. I go, okay, then maybe this is a 90% chance of going in. Ronaldo, I'm like, well, this is a goal.
Interesting.
It's certainty of knowing to convert in that situation.
So you wouldn't have Beckham on your pen?
Not compared to the people you mentioned, no.
I'm being ironic.
Yeah, I know.
But he actually was quite good at pen, barring the couple misses that he almost destroyed his career with.
You genuinely think Messi over Ronaldo on a penalty?
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just arguing your case. I don't think Messi is the greatest of all time.
Ah.
But you do.
Interesting.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
But also at the same time, I would trust Messi to...
Well, the lists aren't perfect, are they?
No, and actually, you know what? Let's hear what the viewers want.
Yeah.
Let your 6 best penalty takers be known in the comments down below, ladies and gentlemen, because we want to hear it. We're going to be in the comments discussing with you. Okay, so let them be known in the comments down below.
Yep.
Make sure you sign up to Super 6 using the code PTCHS6 to join our Pitchside Mini League using the link in the description down below.
Yep.
Lewis, I want you to hit us with an update, please, on the predictions, because Reeve has had an unbelievable week on Super 6.
On Super 6.
But I think you put different predictions.
One of them was different, yeah, annoyingly.
So we'll do yours first, Theo. We did have a little bit of discrepancy over the Newcastle Leeds narrow, but it doesn't matter anyways, because you got it wrong.
Yeah,
I think nobody predicted a draw there, right?
No.
Yeah.
So
I mean, generally in world football, I don't mean.
So Theo, we'll do your scores first. You ended with 9 points.
Ooh.
Any perfects? Yes. Oh no, I know you got a perfect, didn't you? Didn't you say 3-0 Man City?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you got 3-0 Man City, and then Palace Bournemouth one you got right. So 9 points in total. A couple more. Correct.
Eze in that, by the way.
Yeah,
oh my. Yeah, we didn't touch on Eze, man. Oh my god, that pass from Elise.
That whole goal was just beautiful.
The touch was disgusting. It made me feel violently sick.
Yeah.
Eagles.
So you ended on, you're on 184 points at the moment in the overall standings as we come now, to the business end of the season.
I've had a howler here because I said 2-2 Chelsea Forest and then I sent you 2-1.
Ah, did you?
You didn't say 2-2, did you?
No, on Super 6.
Well, game's the game.
Well,
so sad.
I'll forgive you, okay. Reeve, because you got a mighty 13 points.
How? How?
This might be one of the best single game weeks scores.
Wow.
Mate, it's what I do, baby.
So three total correct results. So you got, I think you got.
It would have been four. It would have been four.
Yeah, it would have been four.
Correct.
So very impressive from you there, mate. And that ends you. So Theo on 184 points. Reeve also 184 points. He was an tight.
He's sweating. I can see him. Look at this.
I can't believe how close this is. Like throughout the whole season,
we're tying, and he's had a whole game week more than me.
Wow. Is that including
the point?
No. So that contentious point.
It's not a contentious point.
You don't deserve the point.
You fuck off.
What happened with Newcastle and Leeds? Did he do it again?
We don't want to talk about that one.
He did do it again, right?
No, I said something far worse.
Yeah, I sent Jody a text like saying 3-1, so it was wrong. But I didn't include it on that one. Every time I kept forwarding it, it wouldn't say forwarded.
What?
I don't know.
No, that's his story. What I believe is, I reckon he forgot to send me the score, and he's like, oh, I can forward you this message where I did the prediction elsewhere. But whenever he sent the message, it didn't even say the forwarded thing above it. So I was like, he's just texting me a result and claiming that he's...
If I forward you this message now, look. I'll forward it to you. It won't say it.
Either way, it wouldn't have counted.
Either way, it's wrong.
It doesn't matter, yeah. So yeah, it's tied up.
Check your message. It doesn't say forwarded.
What was the...
No, it doesn't.
Biggest lead you had at any point?
14 points? I think it was
big.
Would it be a bigger battle than Arsenal?
I missed a whole game week.
Yeah, but it would be.
So he gained them points because I didn't bother doing it. I wanted to give him a chance.
Oh.
Yeah.
But so someone's going to be going on that lovely tour. It's getting closer and closer, but should we
do? You know what? It's not going to be me.
Famous last words. Moving on to the quiz.
Quiz time. Right, can we get buzzer noises, please?
Beep.
Original.
Thanks, mate. I've never used it before. No. I thought I'd try it out for the first time.
Howard Webb.
Okay, that a bit long.
Long.
Bottled.
I can just say Howard.
Bottled. So, yeah, works him as always.
Full thing. If I come in with beep halfway through you saying Howard Webb, I'm
perfect. It's just when I start.
No.
Okay, fine.
It's not when you start.
Yeah, it's when you finish.
Webb.
Everyone gets one guess until everyone's had a go, then you can come back in. We're doing guess the career path as we always do, but this time we're doing it in reverse. So where they ended to where they started their career. And I'll hit you with a bit of a tricky one first, actually, because he's normally pretty good at this. Darlington.
Who?
You don't know Darlow? It's like,
yeah, but I know the football club. I don't know who the player is.
I've never heard of football club.
Come on, man, up the Darlow. Oldham Athletic. Bolton Wanderers. Darlow on loan. Wolves on loan. Doncaster Rovers on loan. But where he spent the majority of his career, except from Bolton as well, Berra.
Oh.
So his overall in order is Berra to Doncaster on loan, Wolves, Darlington on loan, and then Bolton. He was there from 2011 to 2019, and then to Oldham and Darlow.
Berra.
What the fuck? You know this guy, though.
But is it Wolves as well?
Yeah, just on loan. One appearance at Wolves. I would focus more on Berra and Bolton, really.
Blimey.
That's what he's known for.
I'm just going to guess. Howard Webb. Well, it's Webb for me. Kevin Davies?
No.
Yeah.
Beep. UCS Cologne?
No. Oh. Interesting guess, though.
I don't know if he's ever at Borough, to be fair.
I have no idea.
Oh.
This is Premier League years levels.
This is a classic player.
You
have to push you for an answer, a random guess.
I don't know.
I've got another guess.
Literally, I can't even think of a player.
Okay, you can pass.
I'll wait.
Clue?
I had my time.
He plays in centre.
When? Kevin Nolan?
No. He played in centre back.
Oh, shit. Centre back?
Yeah. Oh, come on, boys.
Centre back?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Also played right back a little bit.
What?
But, like, I know him as a centre back. That's all I remember him.
Have you just picked your favourite players for this career?
Believe it or not, my favourite player, it wasn't a Bolton Berra legend.
Do you know what's annoying me here? Is I know Tom would have already got it.
Yeah, definitely.
He'd have already beat in.
Specs Gonzalez, when he was on the pod, you might not know.
Oh!
Had a story about this player.
No!
He had a story about this player.
Of him. What's his name?
Having a scrap with him on a night out.
I know his name.
Oh,
this is so poor from me.
His name is similar to...
It's squared, isn't it?
...a form of...
I can't remember his name.
His name is similar to a type of cereal. His first name is the same as my dad's.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
A type of cereal?
I can't remember. I'm literally having the conversation.
Webb, Howard Webb. David Weir.
Boom!
Oh, fuck. I could think of it.
God. It was a good one.
I was nowhere near that, I have to say.
Okay, second one. In reverse, remember. So,
I can't remember his name.
This guy played for Burnley. Before that, it was Kyer Sibor. And then Burnley again. Then Everton. Then it was Everton on loan. Then Spurs. And before that, Leeds. So in order, will be Leeds to Spurs to Everton on loan to Everton to Burnley, Kayserispor and Burnley.
Oh, I know who this is.
You just do.
Spurs to Everton.
Yeah, on loan and then permanent. Had 266 appearances at Spurs, though.
Yeah, I can see who it is, man. Man.
Oh.
Spurs to Everton.
Well, I'm blank on this.
Oh, I don't know who this is.
266 appearances for Spurs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Who was he at before Spurs?
Leeds. So he was at Spurs 2005 to 2015.
Oh, that's way earlier than those.
That's a long fucking
time. 5 to 15.
That's a long 10 years.
Burnley only retired 2022.
To Everton?
Yeah, man. He used to play for the English national team. Had a few caps there.
Oh! Beep. Aaron Lennon.
Boom! Aaron Lennon.
I literally was thinking Aaron Lennon in my head the entire time.
You should have said it, man.
Yeah, but I was just certain he didn't go to Turkey.
Nah, he got to go ballsy with it.
Oh, well. Fair play.
Blimey.
A Burnley of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Third question in reverse, remember? So, Valenciennes, Saint-Étienne, Bordeaux on loan, Arsenal.
Oh, beep.
Yeah,
oh,
I know
oh you went before. The next one I'm going to give you, you're definitely getting the right answer. So
Nasri, but I said Samir Nasri. I know it's not.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, but it's not.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, whatever my buzzer is.
Hang on a minute, he's not said his buzzer.
No, what is the buzzer?
What was it, bottled?
Yeah.
Matthew Debussy.
Yes.
Yeah,
big old Debussy. What a player, man.
These are random players.
Yeah, it's hard to think of the random ones after a while. These are my go-tos. Right here, in reverse again.
Debussy is your go-to.
For some reason, James Perch is always a go-to in my head. Right, anyways, Roma. Shanghai Shinyo. Roma.
Oh, Webb.
I'll be very impressed if you get this, like, actually.
El Shaarawy.
Yeah!
Wow, fair play.
Wow, fair
good
play.
Shit, man. But still at Roma to this day.
It's good knowledge.
Elsha.
That's my hero growing up, Lou. Of course I fucking know that one, man.
Yeah.
FIFA 12 legend, mate.
Yeah.
Okay. Galatasaray. Al Hilal. Galatasaray. Marseille on loan.
Oh.
Swansea City. Lyon. Troyes on loan and Saint-Étienne, but. So in order, Saint-Étienne to Troyes on loan, Lyon to the move to the Premier League.
Bottles. Bafétimbi Gomis.
Yes.
Oh, who? Bafétimbi Gomis.
Gomis.
Yeah.
Not remember that.
Yeah.
I fucking knew that.
Right.
Sorry for
extra hard. Good bonus question.
Okay.
Demokrata SL. Before that was Watford. Hoffenheim on loan. Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, beep. Eunice Kabul.
No.
That's a good shout out there.
PSV and Cruzeiro. So Cruzeiro,
yep.
PSV, Tottenham, Hoffenheim, Lawn, Watford, Demokrata.
Fuck.
Oh, no.
Oh, I've got it.
No, I can't.
Can I go in again?
No.
I actually know who this is, by the way.
Are they Dutch? Yeah, they have to be Dutch, right?
Can't tell you.
I know who this is.
It's not Rafa van der Vaart.
And can I just say?
No, you cannot.
I have the player.
It doesn't matter.
I know the player.
I've got time. The thing is, he's either Dutch or Brazilian.
I know who it is. I actually know who this is. This is really pissing me off now. Just say pass there.
No.
I need to relax here. No.
What was the order again? Cruzeiro, PSV, Spurs.
Hoffenheim on loan, Watford, and Demokrata.
It's like that Cruzeiro.
Mate, come on. I know who this is.
The Brazilian PSV.
Oh, can we get a time cap, Mike? Come
Brazilian.
On.
We're still all right. I think we've got a little bit more time to cook.
Brazilian. No, I don't know who it is.
I do. It's
Brazilian.
Coming.
Brazilian.
Can we have respect to your fellow participants, please?
At Spurs.
If this is wrong, by the way.
Then he went to Hoffenheim.
PSV to Spurs to Hoffenheim on loan.
I know who this is. I know who this is.
Only 9 appearances at Hoffenheim.
Yeah, but a Brazilian at Spurs.
Oh, please, man. Please!
Can you just relax here, brother?
I know who it is!
Just relax here, brother. Hmm.
Oh, this is doing my head in, man. This is actually doing my head in.
Is it the striker?
It's not a striker. I know it's not.
Cannot confirm or deny.
Oh, I've got it. No, you went to Barcelona. No, don't worry.
Okay. No, this is ridiculous.
I think they have a little bit longer.
You're just trying to watch me in pain.
I don't know.
People on the podcast go, "Oh, just let Reeve go.
Yeah,
just let
me the clue, please."
No, you could do it. It's the first round. You get
okay.
Clear now, technically, oh, yeah,
are you just passing?
Both pass.
Okay.
I don't even win the quiz.
Three,
if I get this right, by the way.
2-1 into the next round. Now,
beat Perillo Gomez.
Incorrect.
What?
Incorrect.
That's no.
You're wrong.
Okay, right.
No, he's right, actually.
Oh, what? Why the fuck would you do that?
I just wanted to see him be sad.
I knew I was right, Lewis. You couldn't get me.
You can't get me. Well done.
Well done, Reeve.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
You came second in the quiz.
No, I didn't. I came first.
No, you didn't.
Joined first.
Ladies and gentlemen,
with Rory.
Yeah.
Rory. I got 2 points. We all got 2 points.
Oh, there you go then.
We're all winners. Tied at the last. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, if you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to drop a like and subscribe. Road to 200,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, click sub.
Huge.
Make sure you rate us Apple 5 stars. Make sure you get 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Obviously, make sure you sign up to our Super 6 Mini League, Pitch Side Mini League, using the link in the description down below. Roy, as always, links in the description down below. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Been a pleasure.
And guten Tag, lads.